start recording, and let's get this podcast cracking.
Ha!
Yeah, welcome to Pedicure Philosophies. Buho, tell them what Pedicure Philosophies stand for. What does that mean?
Listen, there's this thing that happens in life that you thought you never needed and never cared about. And then that thing happened and you're like, wow, I need this and I care about it every day.
There you go. And we actually got pedicures because right now we are live from Colombia.
Cartagena, Colombia.
Yes, and we out here just having a good time. And we actually got some pedicures.
We had to.
Mani-pedi. Get all that on.
We went to Wani. That's her name.
Yeah, Wani. Shout out Wani. Yup. She owns the shop. And it was pretty cool.
Like right in.
In the old city. That's where we are, in the old city.
Very nice. Very nice.
All right. So today we got guests.
Yes.
You introduce the guests.
Well, first of all, we have the birthday boy.
Yeah. Yeah, we should give him some sound effects. Give him some. Give him some.
The one, the only, P.E. Moses.
Yeah.
Yes. There we go.
Dad. Okay. That's my name is Dad.
Here we go. I hit him with some applause. There you go. There's his applause. Birthday boy.
Now, everybody say this man look like he's about 23. I've been looking like he was 23 since it was 1973. Actually, 1973, you weren't even 23 yet.
I think people are just being nice to me, that's all.
That's what's up. We want to tell people how old you are. You good on that?
Nah, I'm proud of my age.
How old are you?
70 years old.
There we go.
Another round of applause.
All right.
So, you know, I'm happy to be here.
Awesome.
First time in Colombia.
Awesome.
Okay.
I'm here with my three sons.
Yes, sir.
And that's the most important thing to me, is to be here with these young men.
You always been putting background music when people talk.
All right.
My three sons.
Well, you just messed up my whole.
We do that. So yeah. My bad. So, yo, from 54 to 2024.
But anyway, I'm just wanted to say I'm very proud to be here with you guys. Y'all showing me such a great time, showing me so much love. And it's overwhelming sometimes because when you just think about it, I'm here with my three sons and y'all just being just me and three men. You know, working, talking, you know, just having fun.
There we go.
Right?
Awesome.
There we go.
Awesome.
I like that.
Awesome. And then next up the bat, what I just noticed that you can't see this and it's not.
Yeah, they can't see this. That's okay.
So the joke about the shine and the baldies.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, they're not going to get it.
Versus the soon coming.
You better cut that thing off, man.
It's happening.
It's happening. That's how mine started. See, mine started in the front, though. So I was losing hair in the front.
Yeah.
And I had everything in the back. I was just like, just get rid of it.
Mine looked like a crown. I should just grow everything out. So here we go. You talked about the podcast studio. The podcast studio would not be possible without the studio itself.
There you go. Here we go. Round of applause.
And the man, is he a myth? No, he's reality.
There we go.
He's legendary. Big D in the place, introduce yourself.
Hey!
What up? It's Demetrius, part of Neurodiagnostics.
Yes, sir.
Bam.
We've been doing this for years. I'm one of the three ball guys that's sitting here.
Tell them about the school.
Oh, yeah, the school was started back in 2009. It's been going on ever since. We're giving a lot of opportunities to a lot of us, a lot of minorities,
facts.
And a lot
facts.
Of
bang.
People that wouldn't have those opportunities.
Facts.
You know, Mr. Chris Moses joined us back in 2015, 2016.
Yep.
Huh?
And we've been going up ever since, man. We're trying to get everybody on so you could do something better with your life.
That's right. That's right.
There you go. More applause right there.
Here we go. Hit them. More applause.
So, school, EEG, you had some rooms. Well, we tried. I did my little practice in there. Got my baby mix masters practice up in there. So
Yeah. You did. Oh, yeah, that's right. You did. You're right. Yeah.
Now we're here with the podcast. So, again, came to Columbia because it's Dad's birthday.
That's right.
So
I was just about to ask you that. You be having the ones with all the topics. What are we talking about?
So we could first talk about,
we're in Colombia and we went to a place called Palenque. right? We can talk about that. So we can talk about how Palenque was. You got to talk in the mic. Ain't going to be able to hear you.
That was awesome. I'm telling you. I want everyone to go to Palenque, okay? Word. Everyone, every culture, every so they could really learn the truth about people and how we came to be who we are and where we are.
All right, so just so everybody knows, Palenque is an area within Colombia that is governed, policed. It's literally their own town, and it's all black people. It's sovereign. All black people, to the point where if you want to be a cop in that town, you have to have came from there, meaning born there in Palenque. They don't let others come in and police them because they say Palenque people don't shoot Palenque people. So it's amazing that that town is there. They have everything up that says black is beautiful. They have Black Lives Matter signs, and they know, though we're in Colombia, everyone thinks that it's, you know, you're going to get Hispanic or whatever. Right. They understand that they are Afro-Latina. They understand they're from Africa.
Right.
Like, they're from Africa and they came here to Colombia. So they understand that, but go ahead.
They wear it proud.
Very proud.
And, okay, what I wanted to say was, when you sum it all up, they have the sovereignty that we talk about, right? And we talk about, oh, we want to do whatever we want to do for ourselves. These are people that's doing it for themselves. When we walk past the jail.
It's so funny when he said
nobody's
that.
In jail right now.
Nobody's in jail. Literally, they have their own jail, everything. And we walked past. He showed us. He said, this is the police station. And this is the jail. But ain't nobody in jail. Because they police themselves. That's what we were saying, right?
The claim to fame for Palenque was the boxing. Remember?
Yep.
We got to insert.
What his name is. Yeah, I forgot his name.
We don't do all right. We don't do our research right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, we did. I forgot what his name is.
Off the cuff. But they showed us the gym, and that was the claim of fame. So he came back and gave back to his community and, you know, did some things for them. And then that just, you know, helped them out and just kept them going as far as what we do for ourselves. And now it's a tourist place. And the tour, homeboy put the tour together.
Hermes was his name.
You know, from the sign when you come in to the first gift shop and the first when you walk in, he tells you the history. Then we met our boy, the musician.
K-O-M-B-L-I-S-A. Oh, yeah. That's the name of his store, Africa. But but the name of the group was Cumbalisa.
Yeah.
Cumbalisa.
There you go.
Cumbalisa. So that was dope. Cumbalisa is a group that you can look up. If you look it up, Cumbalisa, K-O-M-B-L-I-S-A on Instagram, you'll see that come up. And they literally do tours everywhere, like not just here in Colombia. He said next month he's going to New Orleans.
Right.
So he's all over.
So they've been all over the place. New York, they've been Brazil. Yep. They've been all over the place.
Yep.
Yeah. It's a big deal.
You about to say something?
Oh, no, I was just saying New Orleans. They're supposed to be in New Orleans. And, you know, the Moses family had a jam session with.
We did.
it was
dope.
It was great.
It was definitely dope.
Tell them about the mess. Oh, yeah. I mean, the Dr. Sebi thing is real.
Yeah.
Until you see it in person for yourself, you don't realize what's going on with this modern medicine versus tribal medicine or natural medicines.
That's right. So the guy's name is Dr. Sebi. They said came and his family had came there and taught things, but their guy is called Sequito.
Oh,
Sequito was the name of the guy that taught everybody about just herbs and stuff like that. And they said they had during COVID they only had 12 cases of COVID and no one died. It just was 12 cases. They healed them and then that was it. But nobody died. So that shows you that herbal medicine is where it is.
I mean, he was picking the plants and showing you what this
literally is. What it's for. This is for this.
Gonna heal that. That's gonna touch on to that.
I wish we could bring it back, but we
also
can't.
So wanna add to that is that he had not just herbal medicine for the inside, but for the outside, mosquito bites. They even said COVID snake bites and stuff like that. They have herbs and stuff to put on your skin to heal it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And
then he was saying that the topical stuff.
Yeah.
You could do that.
And they have cleaners that cleans your body out. So they have a whole array of things to keep you healthy. And if you looked at the doctor, he looks like he was like 25 years old, you know?
I got to ask you a question, though. You know I always make fun of you, Dad.
Yeah, I'm
you. You got to come closer to the mic. Everybody heard him say COVID snake bite?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's a COVID snake bite? No, he's like, they can heal a COVID snake bite? It's a snake that got COVID. He was like, it's a COVID snake bite. I was like, what's that? They healing stuff that didn't even come out yet.
My point is that they have everything from just not the physical, but your spirit too.
Yes.
So it's very important for y'all to really find out more about this place. If you could visit, I know you will have a great time and you will learn a lot. And that's what's so important.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It's beautiful coming here and seeing your people. Literally, your people, see them, you know?
And possibly learn their language.
Oh,
they came up with their
about
own
that,
language.
Buho? Their language?
I'm glad that you said that, because I was going to say that, then I got caught up on the ride to the place. No, they made up their own language. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was the whole thing. When they came and it was brought here and the colonizers was doing everything they was doing, and you know, people was bringing here, being brought here in ships and being running and fighting for the freedom. The thing was this: we got a place to go, but now we're gonna sing a language. We're gonna make ourselves a language that people don't understand, that they don't understand.
That's right.
It's just like we're in the street and we talking, you know, or doing whatever they doing, pig Latin, however they make their. It's the same thing. The first thing you do when you gotta be with your own people and make your own thing, you have to have your own language, the way y'all talk. You also have to have your own reason. So they're all, what's the reason for them doing all of this? Be here to get away from them, to make
That's
sure
right.
that we're
That's right.
taking care of ourselves.
That's right.
We got our language. We know what we're going to do to heal ourselves. Our
That's
food.
Right.
You got to have your hospital or whatever. We was basically in the
hospital. Yeah, we had the hospital. Yeah. He showed us the hospital. But he even said nobody really used the hospital because they go to Sequito.
Right. Because you don't get... On our medicine on Western, it's like, you know, you get sick and you go in a hospital. Their whole thing is like, here, do this.
Do this. I mean, I'm pretty sure, you know, if you break your leg, you still got to go get it cast, right?
Well, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you got to go to the hospital for that. But, you know, if you got a mosquito bite or you got cancer or something, they're not just going to give you a bunch of medication. They're going to say, do this, try this, do this.
And we might scoff at, you know, like, oh, we got all of these buildings and all this industry and stuff like that. But think about how much pollution is in the cities as opposed to being, you know, where they are in with all that nature and a lack of that stuff. But here we go again. So they got they land. They got their reason, which is the Constitution. They got the language, right?
They got everything,
and What else were they doing? There was like the braids and the hair. Was the roadmap?
Oh, same,
how you get to the city?
The migration from Cartagena to Polanco is similar to the migration from, let's say, South Carolina to New York.
Okay,
there you
they
go.
Had their own people that were helping them on their underground railroad by using the braids and hiding seeds in the in the hair, so they can grow their crops once they got to wherever they were at. Grow their crops where, you know, once we get to Polanco, we have these. Cassava seeds. We have these. It wasn't a soursop, but they call it mambo.
Yeah, whatever that.
Yeah,
was.
Momo.
They call it noni.
Noni.
Call it noni.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So and these are all the things that they.
We thought it was soursop.
Yeah, and these are all. It looked just like soursop.
Right.
But these are all the things that they had to make their medicines and to grow food for themselves and not be reliable on Europeans to help them with those things.
And they've done. And they done it. They've done it. Yeah. It's amazing.
That's right.
They've done it.
It was a strategic strategy for them. Mm-hmm. Even when they put the Catholic Church in in their city, which is pretty much a front for them, so that the Europeans don't mess with them as much.
Well, like they were saying, the dude wanted to come and put the church. So it's like, all right, go ahead,
We don't want to
do that. But they don't utilize
it. There was 4,300 people that lived there, and only 7 families actually used that church.
Yeah.
So that's dope. Some of the language, what was it? A strength was Kuti. Or what was it?
Don't ask me.
Kuti.
I have to look at the picture.
Kuti.
Exactly what
it was. No, Kutu. 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 Kutu was strength. And then Nomano. Nomano was brother. Or Nomana.
On the end is.
Nomana is sister. Oh, no mano. I think it's dope. I really want to learn more about that language, the Palenque language, because that's dope that they created their own language just so nobody could understand what they was talking about. Like, imagine that, creating your own whole language so no one knows what you're talking about.
It's a survival. It's a survival,
it's a survival tactic.
Yeah.
Like, yo. It's sort of like what we have done during slavery time. If we want to send a message to each other without the white man knowing about it, we had our own language with a whistle. And the amazing thing is, think about this. We use drums, and they use drums as well.
Yep.
And it started from that African upraising. It's in your soul. So, you know, these are another people that's being colonized in another part of the world, but you're still connected. And those drums told me that you're connected. Because we use drums to say where's South at, what we going, I'm out here. You know, we use song, just like they language. Their language is using song, you know? So this is an amazing place, like I said. If you haven't been there, go.
And then just alone, not even just in Palenque, here in Cartagena, like all of the pictures on the walls, the statues of the indigenous people that are here look like us, you know? You know, it's not even just, I mean, Palenque was, you know, they're their own town and all, but even here in Cartagena, like they, you know, who they look up to, their statues and the paintings on the wall look all just black people. So I think they really, even not just Palenque, but even Cartagena, they all accept that they are Afro-Latina. They accept it. They know that's where we're from. We're from Africa and came here.
Go ahead, bro. And just to go back to the jam session that y'all had. First time ever meeting these people, right? Mm-hmm. We didn't know them, but it was a connection through the music.
Yeah,
through the music.
The music made sense. You understand what I'm saying? Like, it was all on beat. It was all a same vibe.
Yes.
You know, because we have that connection.
Yes.
We you know, it's internal inside of all of us.
Right. We didn't know them at all. Another
person of color, it's a connection. So when they say music make the world go round, It definitely does.
Literally does. It really does. And it's crazy because we didn't know them. And we just started playing, and then the next person play.
Yeah.
Right. Then the next person play.
It's crazy. It was instruments that we probably never seen before.
Yep.
You know, just it was a box with the keys on it. You sat on it and went right into it, and it blended in with everything that was going on.
Yep.
Right.
It was sort of like Christopher always have Karambe. Is
Karamu. Yeah, that's for Kwanzaa.
Kwanzaa.
It was the sixth day of Kwanzaa.
Same thing. It took me back to Kwanzaa time when we do this at Christopher House every year. And it was like just family, just coming together with the music, with the celebration, with the feeling. We was all hyped with this feeling, and we stayed on beat.
Again.
But let me say this. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys saw this, but when y'all was having the jam session, it was some Europeans outside that didn't quite know what to do.
Yeah, I did see them.
It was like, oh, should we just stand and wait? Right. You know, this is one time you have to wait your turn.
Right.
Because and it's so crazy because
didn't understand or feel what we were feeling.
And it's so crazy because if there was black people outside, what would they have done? They would have came in, started dancing, like because we are connected. Yeah. They know, like, oh, they jamming? I'm going to go jam with him. But Buho, you was about to say something.
Oh, I was going to say, oh, shoot, man. I got
But either way, they just was, you know, it's just the connection, like you say. The music connects us all. Mm-hmm. That's what it do.
Oh, and another, what I was going to say was, part of that also was Homeboy's synopsis in the beginning when he let us know what it was about. Mm-hmm. So before we even entered it all, he gave us a great breakdown of just what this town was about, how it was built,
mm-hmm.
you know, starting with the founder of the town, mm-hmm. and then giving us to the, you know, to the guy to the
all the way,
the town who brought us public.
you could never purchase anything unless you were born from there. Right. So dope. Even if we tried to go buy a home there, we couldn't come in. We could come stay with somebody for a month or two, but we couldn't buy any land there.
Or he even said he could buy the land and you could stay here.
Yeah, you could rent.
You could rent from me. You know. I could buy, but you cannot purchase it. It should always be like that. I respect it.
Services. Get your money and go head on.
There you go.
You know.
But you cannot buy land here because then you have, when he said, now you have a stake in this land. Exactly. And who are you? He was like, no, because he said, you can get lawyers involved and now you could do what you want here. No.
No.
We do what we want here. You can't buy nothing here.
And that's such a fantastic idea because of the fact that if you just look around now, black people, you're losing your neighborhoods, we call, you know, we call it hood, you're losing that. You're being moved out, you're being pushed out, you know, that's because we don't own it. They own theirs, you can't push them out.
Yeah, that's their spot.
And then they're making sure that you can't by telling, I don't want your money, you know? Yeah. I don't want your money. You can't buy them.
Yeah, that's the funny. Remember you said he was talking about some guys, some Europeans that came and wanted to, and they had all this money, and they still are like, no.
I asked these questions because I wanted to make sure that I really seeing and hearing what I'm seeing and hearing.
It's dope.
You know, I said, you know, because I asked him, you cannot buy. You cannot do, and he says, no, we're not allowed to.
They
don't live here, you don't buy here. That means that land is going to be in their family for the next 200 years.
That's right.
It's going to be kept properly.
That's right.
It's going to be, you know, that's another reason for keeping it there, because that stake and that understanding and that history stays there.
That's right.
And it's kept properly. You know, like where we come from, we're like, oh, wow, it's amazing, all these black people doing stuff, and we're black people from New York. You know, everything put in front of us has a white veil over it.
That's right. You know what I mean? So that's right.
Like, we're amazed at this.
To see this.
And, you know.
Just the street.
Right.
How prepared that street, the engineering of that main road.
Right.
No potholes. And if it was, the guy was mixing the cement, making it from scratch.
Right.
And building speed bumps so you could.
Yeah, when we was going out.
Come through the neighborhood all right. Fast. That was amazing.
Oh, let me just say this.
When
he's talking about the street, when we first came there, there was not too many people in the street. I don't know if y'all noticed that. It was just people on the side in the homes and sitting on their porches and chilling. But by the time we went around and came back, children riding their bikes, they was all out in the street. To me, they were saying, I'm celebrating you. Welcome. Come to there. It's okay. If y'all noticed that.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying,
Then that gave me goosebumps because it's like your family is saying, your home is okay. Come on out.
Right, you know,
They here. They are.
Yeah, everybody was saying they was in there playing dominoes. Dudes was like, what up? Like, people say hi, so it's just cool. It's cool to be there and see your own people and everything.
And I think that was by design because if you think about it, the streets leading up to Polanco were horrible.
They were.
You could not just get in a car and speed down that street.
Nah.
Because you would tear your
you would tear your
whole front end off.
That's right.
Yeah.
But once you got past that sign, those streets were smooth.
Nice and smooth.
That's by design. Yeah, so no one could just run up in your spot. Like
that's right. That's right.
And when we left, what was down the block? The military.
Military.
Yo, what?
Even with those trucks, they can't just run up in there. Like
Nope.
Yeah, it was like that was the end of they line right there, and then going back on.
So that's Palenque. That was dope.
Sovereign black town.
That was
doing
dope.
Doing thing.
Gotta love it.
Afro Latino.
You have to go.
You know,
you gotta go. It's about an hour and a half away from Cartagena, but it's definitely worth the drive.
The trip from Cartagena to Palenque was bananas.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
What? Just going through.
Going through. No, we didn't go through two cities. We really,
one
city? We went through, it's almost like I know you said like from down south to up north, right? Making the message. But in landmass terms, it's more like going from like New York City to Long Island, like from Brooklyn to Long Island.
Something like that, right?
Or Queens to Long Island, something like that, or Nassau. So, but then when you're going through and all the bikes, motorcycles and scooters, right?
Yeah,
and everybody trying to sell stuff and walking out in front of the car, double lane, yo. And
that tripped me out. And being a driving instructor, I had to sit back, close my eyes, and just take a ride because it was tripping me out. I'm like, oh, he's going to get hit. This our driver, he had made a left turn, remember?
Oh, it was like it looked like it was incoming traffic.
And 15 bikes came little, at him.
Little thing.
So came at him. I'm like, oh, he navigated right through them. And I'm like, oh, my.
So basically here in Colombia, they in a lot of other countries, they use the mopeds. A lot of people have mopeds. So as many mopeds, it's probably about double the amount of mopeds to cars. So on the street, there's 10 cars and there's 20 mopeds going in and out of traffic all over the place. So it's just crazy to see all that. And you're worried that you're going to hit them. And we were just saying we can't drive. Like, it would be too much. Like, they're all over the place, jumping in front of you, going there. But, I mean, we went all the way there, hour and a half, all the way back. I didn't see one accident.
Not one.
Well,
remember we asked him. We asked Jorge. He said it's
sometimes with the motorcycles.
The motorcycle.
Mostly with the mopeds, because they're all over the place.
I talked to a lot of people who was from other countries, and they was like, listen, y'all driving? It's like, we got to drive. Like, people from India, people from Dominican Republic, from Haiti, and now from Colombia, you see, you got to drive. But that is driving, though.
It's still driving. I'm pretty sure their environment is better, too, because they don't got so many cars pumping up so much stuff. Somebody knocked on the door?
Yeah, hold up.
We ain't asked nobody to come. I don't know who that is.
Probably Carlos.
maybe it's Carlos. Oh yeah, maybe it's the lady that's doing it. Anyway, but yeah, so we're in Colombia and it's literally amazing. Just being here and just chilling and looking at the country. Today we're gonna go on ATV, so that's gonna be fun to see. Then you're really gonna see the country. You can really see the country because that's where we go ride. So you're gonna love that. But next topic. What else were we talking about? I see you got the phone out with all of the topics. What were we talking about?
Oh, I got the phone out with all the topics. I was also free. I'm still, my mind is still in Palenque.
Yeah.
I'm still taking it in. It's not even going to materialize for like another week for me. But the people thought the world was going to end. Remember we had a song called 1999 by Prince?
Yeah.
Party
like it's 1999. That's crazy because that's what the song was.
That was. Yeah.
Yeah, so you're talking Y2K. Everybody thought that the computers weren't going to be able to switch from four digits. No, still four digits, but from 0 to 1.
2000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, from
2000.
Yeah.
Right.
They didn't have that. They didn't think. And they literally, people, I was watching this thing. There was tons of jobs and people did all these things, backing up codes and all these things because everybody thought the world was going to just shut. Like, what was going to happen?
Now, no more.
We're just going to blow up.
Well, this is the thing that now, because of our lovely preachers, we have so many different doomsday scenarios.
Okay.
Right? And preacher science, media, all right? So we got the meteors coming down, an asteroid, or the, coming
the Mayan, what was that?
That was the 2012
calendar. That was the 2012 calendar.
Because now.
We supposed to all die then, too.
That was the backup. When they found out they was wrong about 2000, 1999, they started making up some shit.
And then
9/11 happened. And then it was like, yo, let's put this doomsday back on to this 2012 stuff, right? That's why they bugging out now, because it's like, we don't have a doomsday. We need to
When is the next
That's
day?
Why World War III is floating around. It's going to be World War III. Let's put that out there. Always some shit. Shit. Yeah.
You need a mic. You need a mic.
They got to keep you all the time in fear because you don't think clearly when you have fear in your head.
And yeah.
That's why.
Well, not even just think clearly. You buy stuff and they can control you. That's what it's all about. Like, if you're worried about a war, if you're worried about something's going to happen, they can control you and tell you to do this, do this. I mean, even with 9/11, if you look how much civil liberties we gave up because of that, because, you know what I'm saying? This is what happens. This is what they're doing. And you will willingly give up those civil liberties if you think Al-Qaeda is going to come and bomb your house. I got to do? You got to be able to see in my house every day so they don't come and kill me? Okay, no problem.
Fine. But I want to give you a simple analogy. It's like, it snows. When it snows, they a week before, they say it's going to be a big storm, it's going to be that. They go out and clean the shopping centers out, take all the water, they buy everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
they get a Trinko.
Right.
Yeah, that's
and
what they
it
do.
It happened over and over and over again, but we already geared to go buy all the water we can, to buy all the food we can, to buy, so we being prepared. And all we doing is just giving them more.
Yeah, when they need a quick stimulus, let's make up something. I remember one time, and I don't know if it was COVID or what it was all the toilet tissue. Remember that? When was that? I don't remember. Was that COVID?
That was the pandemic.
Like, what did COVID have to do with toilet tissue? I never understood that.
About that.
Yo, all toilet tissue everywhere was gone.
Yo.
Oh, Lysol.
Yeah, Lysol. Remember Lysol? Lysol wipes?
It's the competition factor. Because Ord was buying stuff. She was like, we're going to have to do it. And she was right. We had to go get stuff and stock it because his shit was gone in like
You'd be worried.
2 weeks.
I ain't going to lie. I didn't stock that. I stocked water.
It's not. See, but this is the thing. A true doomsday scenario, zombie apocalypse shit happening on the street conventionally, people are going to band together, right?
Yeah.
But in one of these, the asteroid is going to come or the water supply might get wiped out. People are going to hoard. And that's what we gotta understand. I have the potato analogy. We'll deal with this another time, I guess, but it's significant. Yeah. But so that's what happened. So when they said, hey, this is happening, people who think I gotta survive and I'm a competitive person who has to survive, think, stock up, get this, get that, get this before they do. So you gotta all of these, get this before they do, Black Friday shoppers going to get your stuff, right?
Yep. And then
supply and demand in the end. Like I got all the stuff, you gotta get it from me.
That's right.
So then you get it, and then there's the people who get it because they know that, you know, once that's out, you're gonna pay top dollar.
Top dollar.
Third, you know.
Then you have the person that's not getting nothing but got guns. It's like, y'all can get all y'all want. I'm gonna come get it.
Take it.
Another scenario. Wait a minute.
I'm gonna come get it. They're like, I'm not stocking nothing, but I know you stocked up, and I know you don't got no guns. So when it comes real, I'm just gonna come over and get your stuff.
Okay. Well, then that's that. But then there's the people who are like this, and you know how much gun sales went up. There's people who are like, I'm not a gun person, but I know that there's people that get guns, so I'm gonna go buy a gun.
During COVID.
You know how many bullets went up? Bullet sales went up.
First of all, before COVID, I think it was, you could buy bulk bullets. You can literally buy as many as you want. Then all of a sudden, after COVID, they were restricted. You can't buy a certain amount because you could buy it online.
Right.
Bulk amount of bullets. Now you can't. I remember the long lines at the gun stores, people buying guns. Like they wasn't playing no games.
That's crazy. Yeah, but that's the thing. All prepared. So now, now you got a whole bunch of bullets. Do bullets expire? Do gunpowder go bad? Like what happens?
I mean, they say it, but not really. Like.
And what happened to all them paper towels? I guess people use them after a while.
People use them after a while.
I got mad. I had two cans that went bad, and I was mad after that because I'm cheesy. Look at this.
You know, the Lysol and all that stuff used to be in abundance.
Yes.
The hand washing soap. So people wasn't washing their hands before this.
Listen, yo, I'm glad you brought that up. It's so crazy that people are making this big deal about COVID, and I understand it's COVID, but if you washed your hands, a lot of these things wouldn't happen. And that's, for me, what COVID showed. How many people normally don't wash their hands? And it's like, yo, if you wash your hands, you're fine. Like, you should be washing your hands, using hand sanitizer, all of that. But people weren't doing that. People are nasty.
People
are straight nasty, yo.
So so you wash your hands, right? And then when you sneeze in your elbow.
That's what you're supposed to do, sneeze in your elbow. In your hand, because then you could touch somebody. In your elbow. Gotta have a mic. Need a mic.
Okay, so he just said you cover your face with your shirt away.
Or you could cover your face with your jacket or whatever you have on that's open to keep from spreading any of the pollux that comes out your mouth.
You know? If that is the case, why do people get so upset about somebody wearing a mask? It's like I got my hand over my mouth, but all the time.
What, would you think people get upset?
They used to get mad. People.
Oh, like
mad.
You still wearing a mask?
No, even when it before it was a big when
yeah, like when we came here, you was on a plane with a mask.
See, I was on
and I looked at you funny, why you got a mask on?
What I'm saying is back during 2020, people were looking at you funny with a mask. The height of it, they was looking
at you funny like you don't have it on. people wanted you to have it on.
And it was so many. Okay, well, anyway.
You know what, too? It depends on where you are. If you're in Florida, you were in Georgia, yeah, they weren't wearing masks.
Right.
I went to Georgia in, like, April, and it happened in March of 2020, and they no masks. It was at the zoo. They was out. Same thing in Florida, because they didn't, I guess, believe.
They were protesting.
They were protesting.
The point that I'm trying to make is this. If you want to cover your mouth when you sneeze, you want to wash your hands, you want to cover your face, you don't want to, then there's no problem with you just keeping the mask on.
We should stay with masks.
I don't mind anybody wearing
kinda
a mask.
Kind of like China, remember? Years ago, we used to always laugh when we saw that. Like, why they walk around? And then in 2020, we look just like
I
that.
I get it, though. I get it because a billion people in a confined place.
Somebody
right?
going to get sick.
But check it. Yeah, yeah exactly.
It may not be COVID. It could be a cold.
Dude, I am so aware of it. It's not even cold. You could just... It's not even a sneeze, though. When we're speaking like right now, you don't know how much is going like this.
And if you sick, I'm going to get it now.
And you don't even know, just wear a mask, and
I ain't got to worry about it.
It reduces.
Yeah, but see, the masks were uncomfortable for me. I know there hasn't been no real research, or maybe there has, but there has to be something with wearing a mask. Carbon monoxide, not being able to breathe in. It's got to be something. I tell you right now, before the pandemic, I ain't had all this damn gray hair in my damn beard. And then after having wearing that mask for 2-3 years, I'm damn near Santa Claus. I feel like it has something to do with that. I don't know why. Or I'm just getting old.
What? A chemical reaction.
Yeah, like I have something to do with it. I ain't get enough oxygen, enough air to my beard, and now my shit is
enough
Santa Claus.
Air to the beard.
I don't really think that had it.
I don't know, man. Over 3 years, all of a sudden, the thing just turned Santa Claus.
No, that all the worry,
all the stress, the stress. Right?
It's stress kids, right out of here.
Yeah.
It comes right.
Stress is real.
It comes out in different forms. Stress.
Stress is definitely
that's another
real.
Thing that I don't know. I'm probably going off topic, but we need to talk about how people are stressing because you don't realize we stress. We had
stress is real.
It's real, and just
it is.
Stress is real.
We have to get massages, pedicures. All that is things that relieve stress.
That's right.
It relieves, and they was touching the tentacles at the bottom of your feet, and your head was saying thank you, because it runs right up through your body. Okay.
Now the people in Palenque didn't look as stressed as the people in New York.
Because they don't have nothing to stress about.
I don't want to say that they.
Well, they have stuff to stress about.
But I would think that their whole security, their comfort is different. I think that you know when you live in a place where you can't trust your neighbor as much, and you know when you live in a place is you always got a
stressful life,
and you feel like when yours falls down, that's it. You know,
that's
you know what I mean.
Life.
I may get shot by the police, but
that's
a real stress.
They don't have to worry about that stress. Right.
That's a real stress.
They mitigated that immediately.
Yeah.
So just live
with the stress.
Just live.
It's a peace. Right. When they lay down, they go to sleep. We lay down. We turn, tossed, and everything. It's a peace in their town. Is a peace in their heart and their mind. So they don't have to have so much stress. They might be having situations they have to deal with, but I don't think they have stress because if you ain't worried about your health or your financing or where you living at or where you're gonna eat, you ain't got nothing to worry about.
Yeah, that's right.
You really don't.
You're right.
You know, you in a town with other people that you trust.
Right. Right.
You see?
Right.
You ain't worrying about nothing.
Ain't worried about it like
we,
that.
On the other hand, we're worrying about everything. And they making sure you keep worrying because
there's money in worry. I said there's money in worry.
Exactly.
Well, it's the hamster wheel. You just got to
keep
that hamster wheel
that,
going.
Yeah, keep
it's
you on
energy.
That treadmill.
It's just nothing
keep
but energy. Just keep it on here.
That's why they had this thing with all the doomsday stuff. And
that's
they
right.
Always want you to keep the. Because once you stop. Stressing and worrying, you really start thinking.
You start living.
And you start living. Yeah. And half of the stuff that you would do when under stress, you won't be doing it.
And medicine.
The medicine.
Like the stress, this, you got to take that medicine, you got to do that. If you don't, you know, and that big pharma, that's the most money. That's where America makes their money, bro. All of that stuff. So you can't have, I have to have you stressed. I have to have that because stress affects everything. Stress affects your eyesight, your walking, your joints, your everything. So when you really think you're having a problem, you're really not. You're just stressed out.
You're giving yourself.
The problem. You go take a pill for it. Like instead, they say with which big pharma, fixes it, but then gives you something else.
With big pharma, they're not interested in the cure. They're interested in just the cover up of it.
That's right.
You know, the maintenance of, right. of the something. I'm going to maintain it so you can keep paying us. So you're going to pay us for the maintenance of this. We're not going to give you the cure.
Right.
But one thing I did notice in Polanco, did you see anybody homeless there?
Oh, wow.
You're right.
Another thing.
You're right.
All walks of life and all societies have this same issue. And a lot of times we don't like to deal with it. I saw a person that was mentally ill out there. The guy that was
screaming. He said
everybody
it.
Every walk of life, every racial group has someone that has some type of mental issue.
Yeah.
And the way they dealt with it was like,
let him talk. You know? You know. We're not arresting him. He wasn't in the jail. He wasn't.
But they all know that he's had a mental problem. See, and the way they dealt with it is not putting him in jail. It's not, pushing him somewhere.
No. You know, they probably give him food.
They probably feed him and everything, but they know that he has a mental problem.
He wasn't homeless. I'm pretty sure he got some place to live, but you're right. In Palenque, there was no homeless people. Everybody got somewhere to live.
Yeah.
Wow. And if you don't, they're probably like, here, ain't nobody using this place. Go use this.
Because you know why? Because they are all family.
Come live with me.
They all family.
He even said when somebody dies,
that's real.
That they all come and they come do whatever every time somebody dies, the nine days of mourning. Yeah, yo. So that's close to have 4,000 people that that's that close.
And then they said they would act out the attributes. The attributes of the person.
Of the person.
So they buried them within 24 hours.
Yes, yeah. He said that.
You know why that's for.
We ended back up on Palenque. Y'all can see how much we loved it. Because we ended up back here. But go ahead.
For sanitary purposes and whatnot, the body is now, the energy is out the body. The body is now going to decompose. Put it in the ground immediately and let it decompose. And now it's safe, right?
Yeah.
So now everybody's going, the 9 days represents every month in the womb, the 9 months in the womb. And then everybody acts out the attributes of that person. So what they knew about them, was they funny? Was they serious? So that's what they do for the 9 days of the morning. So
that's dope.
You know what I mean? They're keeping him still alive. His spirit is still alive.
The spirit.
So they keeping him still alive like that.
Yes. So didn't he say that? He said something about that.
Until the spirit reaches the next destination, which was Mother Africa.
There you go. That's what he said. Mother Africa. He said, where do we go? After that, then they go back to Mother Africa. He said, so they do this for 9 days because that's the trip it's going to take for that spirit to get back to Mother Africa. That's dope. That's dope. That is so dope, yo.
So
and again, these are our people. Our people, yo.
Well, I mean, we call ourselves African American, don't we?
Yeah.
Hey, so, you know. But it's reaching, man. It's an interesting thing. See, but they combine the nationality that I keep saying, because I wanted to talk about that. Because when we filled out the form to come here, what they say your nationality was, they didn't give you a chance to put black for your nationality.
No, they didn't.
It was United States. It wasn't a
American.
Your nationality is United States. You're a United Stateser.
A United Stateser.
You know, whatever. But
you're right.
So they have a nationality, right? They're Palenqueans. Right? They have that place, you know, and rather it's written down in a body of work or not, anybody can write down what their nation is about. You know what I mean? Just like a Hermes can sit around and just write down their whole thing, their whole body of what they're about. Or if somebody recorded the tour, that's what it's about. And they have their own language, right? We have our own tongue at least. You need your own language, your own tongue, right? Or you got to adopt somebody's tongue. You have to say, hey, this is what we speak, right? And this is what this will be written in. If you need this in writing, it will be written in this.
Yeah.
And then, so that's what I'm saying. And that's why you have a culture. This all makes a culture. This is all, that's all a part of, and how you do it, that's all a part of your culture. And that's what I'm saying as black people in America, that's what we need as our next step. You know, to understand what our true nationality is and to understand what it is to be.
I mean, it's hard because they took away a lot of it, but I mean.
You got to understand that people of Palenque said they took away everything. And they went
and they created it.
And they created this. And we were doing the same exact thing, but somewhere along the line, we just said, poof, right?
You said, forget
well, it. And it's okay if we want to go in a specific direction, but just let's understand what the real of everything is about. Because let's say, hey, Kay, we are on this level of we don't want to do it this way, we want to do it this way, right? We all chose Martin Luther King, so we integrated, right? So let's say that. So let's understand what true nationality is, right? Mm-hmm. So when you on it and you go into Palenque and you're putting down, you're like, why they don't put down black here? And now you got a whole attitude the whole time. Rather than understanding that there's a whole nother game that you're not necessarily privy to, and these people had to make their game, and the way they work with the government means that they understand the government's game, so they're privy to that side.
But they all agreed together. They was, you know, we always talk about unity amongst black Americans. We do. We talk
think
about
it can happen?
A lot of things all the time about doing this together, doing that together, but we don't have the fundamental tools in our mind to do it, because it's like I said, there's always going to be some people say, no, I want this way. You got to understand what united means. United means is you have to be monetary sometime to be able to be, think the same way. You want the same thing. You want to do have the same lifestyle. So you sort of have to think the same way.
I think it's a hard push, though.
Oh yeah,
it's similar to Stockholm syndrome, or even if I don't know if you ever trained a pet or a dog, and you have a home and you say I'm gonna lead my dog all the way out to this one spot. I don't want you to cross this spot ever. And then you have a gate there, but that spot is still there. You open the gate and the dog still won't cross that spot.
Right.
Because you were trained that way.
Right.
So we've been trained to just take what's given to us and don't question it.
Right.
So it's like a Stockholm syndrome. Okay, you could be free. Let's say that you all can go to Nebraska and live in Nebraska. All of us wouldn't go.
Exactly.
That's a fact. We still wouldn't all go.
And the sad part about that is you never know. You always want freedom, but it starts in your own mind, freedom. You have to free your mind. If you don't free your mind, your body just follows it.
Free your mind.
You can't, you know, and they've been saying that for years. I mean, we got generations. I'm 70 years old. I got somebody here who's 50, 40, you know, different generations. And we're talking about the same thing that we talked about when I was a kid. You understand?
So that's why I sometimes think it's the way they engineered us and what they took away from us. So some of us are able to break free and understand and do, but the majority of us don't want to break free.
That's
just like the Matrix. They don't want to. They don't mind being under the thumb of the dominant society. They're just like, it is what it is. Like, I don't mind that. But that's the programming they don't realize they have, but they don't care. So how do you fight against that? You don't, especially
when you notice that not just them, but the whole human being, the whole race of humans are the same way.
Yeah, they're all sheep.
You know what I'm
saying?
They're
made to lead.
Not even personal at that point.
Yeah.
It's just like,
this is what they're made for.
And they're okay with it.
Not lead, they're made to follow. Made to follow.
But they're okay with it as long as it suits them. When it don't suit them no more, they're not okay with it.
Humans?
Humans, they just feel, period, of say black people, white people. As long as that suits them, they're okay with it. But when it don't suit them.
Yeah, but I still think even when it doesn't suit them, they still will go along just to get along.
Have you seen The Hunger Games?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Everybody seen The Hunger Games?
Yeah. Yes.
It's The Hunger Games. The president represents the powers that be that have everything to lose if the game doesn't go their way.
Right?
Yeah. The bottom people in the district are just surviving any kind of way they can, right?
And
we always focus on those two classes. And now the people on the bottom, they always got to sacrifice, one or two people a year or the game, right? They only got to sacrifice one or two people, and that way they can survive, and the security ain't going to beat them up too much, right?
Yeah.
Now, the people in the middle, are most of the people that we're talking about. Most of the people that we relate to are the people in the middle. The people in the middle are doing all the stuff that needs to be to suppress the people down, and also to fuel the guy up top.
Yep.
They're all the creativity, they're all the in administration, and other than that, it's the security. And the security can come from anywhere, from the people here, but the security probably comes from the people on the bottom too.
Yeah.
So what we live in is that kind of style. We're the people in the middle. We're the shiny people in the middle.
Yeah.
We have to choose to not want to have our life, or to choose to change our life for the help down here at the bottom. Yeah. But once everything changes into the way that each and every one of us thinks that it's great, you know what human beings are still going to fall into? The class of the president,
yep,
the class of the people in the middle, and the class of the people on the bottom. And then it's going to come down to how we treat the people on the bottom. And again, let's go back to Palenque. Nobody's in jail, and the crazy guy is just being let to be crazy. And no one is getting hurt.
He's harmless.
But that's what it, but when we can have, but when we really understand that that's what crime is, and that's what society is in itself, and
yep,
that's what the,
yep,
the mistakes of society is, then it's dealt with in a humane form across the world. Mm-hmm. But it's still, no matter what you say and do, it's always going to be on them same levels. Right.
Well, I mean, and just that, like, I think one of the problems, even just for us as humans, you know, all of our governments still have things like, you know, the death penalty. Like, you can't evolve and move and have progression as a people if you're still killing people for their crimes. Like, you can't do that. You know what I'm saying? I know some people are for it, some people are not. And I even look at the person that did the most heinous crime. Your life. Like, you still can't kill people. And if we're still killing people, we're never going to move from where we are. You can't kill people, man.
I understand that. The reason I'm against the death penalty, because you got the people that's putting it in place.
Are crooked.
They are criminals.
Yeah, so you putting people that are innocent
liars,
sometimes.
They are thieves. They create this whole system, and now they're going to tell you, I'm going to kill you because you stole. But they've been stealing all the time.
Your whole system is based on that.
This guy go because he's rich, and he's been stealing all the time.
Yep, that's how they do it.
So I'm against
that. So you're
okay
with killing if it was just, if it was fair?
Eye for an eye type stuff, which I can agree with that, eye for an eye.
Put it this way, if it's a system when this guy coming, Chris come and he's gonna machine gun everybody down. He has to go because he's all these people.
He has to go.
He has to.
See, go. I don't think. I mean,
keep an order like that. He's not. I'm not killing him because of his color. I'm not killing him with his status. I'm not killing him because where he live at. I'm killing him because he did wrong and he's hurting other people.
Gotcha.
You take
and I respect that, and I and
they
I do
do that in this system. I know I do a video with the kids when they're driving, and it's this thing that this kid, he's 16 years old. He got in a truck and he mowed down 14 people. 14 people died in this accident. And they said he can't go to jail. He can't be prosecuted because he has a disease. His disease, I can't remember what they said the disease was. But they created this disease saying that he's too rich because he's too
affluenza.
Affluenza.
Don't point at me.
Too rich. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Affluenza. And I mean, come on, you too rich to go to jail because
that's the bogus. That's the bogus.
Yeah,
but the shiny people in the middle.
But this is what I'm saying. Let me say this. So I understand what you're saying, and I hear that. But my problem is, I think that if we lead with love, things will be different. And I understand. If the problem is, who makes the rules? This guy mows down 16 people with his car. Right? He stole a car, was trying to get away, and mowed down 16 people. What's the difference from the guy that walks into the store and shoots 16 people? They both, in your case, should be dead. But it's just, to me, it's a, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, so this person was running from the police and mowed down 60 people, but it was his actions that did it. This guy was dealing with whatever, and it was his actions that did it. I don't think anyone needs to die for anything. You shouldn't have to pay with your life for the things that, like, listen, I understand. Where do you progress as a people if we're still in the archaic zone of killing people when they do something wrong?
Okay, so now you got to look at other things like molestation.
If a grown person does something to one of your kids, yeah,
what are you going to do?
I'm going to
be
kill
an
him.
Eye for an eye type thing. I'm going to kill you.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to want to kill him.
But does that make you bad because you wanted to kill him?
Do you think
you would deserve the death penalty for what you did to someone?
I think that's a human reaction to want to do that. Someone do something to my child, that's a human reaction. But of course, listen, that person just can't be like, oh, okay, sorry, that's it. No, you're going to get punishment. You go to jail. You do whatever you do. But you also got to think like, and it's easy for me to say it because I haven't been in a situation. But again, as a human, of course I'm going to want to kill this person and do whatever. But I still don't think that people should pay with their lives for the things that we do wrong. It's not humane to kill someone because of what they did wrong. And then the problem is, especially in this world, who makes the rules? Like Dad said, so now I'm killing you for this, but then this person has the right lawyer and did the same thing, but doesn't die. That's the problem.
Without living in a just system, you can't kill people if you're not in a just system. Without having any type of system or any constitution or any laws or rules written down, it's certain innate rules in nature that are there. You shouldn't kill the next person at all. But it's a such thing as good and evil.
That's right. Which everyone knows.
Everybody's not good and everybody's not evil.
Right.
So you have to have something to combat that evilness, to deter people from wanting to do certain
things. That's why Chris said, there should be some sort of...
There's definitely punishment. You don't just get off with a... There's punishment, whether it's jail, whether it's that.
But if you let that person get off and they get out of jail, let's say in 4 years, and they do the same thing again.
Well, that's a problem.
That's a problem. I'm glad you said that because that is a problem. I think Braille said it, Tori said it, that they're not worried about... In corrections, they're not worried about... correcting me. You know what I'm saying? That's not what they're worried about. So he went to jail for 4 years and come back out and do it again. We failed as a system. He was supposed to go and be corrected and figure out what his issue was.
But guess what happened? We lead with killing.
So we're in there and doing all these other things instead of trying to correct him and try to fix what the problem is or whatever's going on to make him come out as a different person. You're not. You're treating him like an animal in there. And it becomes an animal. When he comes out, he's going to still be an animal.
But guess what saved him? Guess what saved him?
What?
Neurodiagnostics.
There you go.
Saving the hood.
Come in.
One person at a time. That's
messed up. Come over here. Come over here, and we're going to give you a career.
That's what's up.
Shameless plug. Shameless plug. No, but seriously, that's what really needs to be done. I think the system in a whole is torn apart. So it's like, that's the biggest problem to me. The entire system is torn apart. Yeah. So only way to fix a system that's torn apart is by to tear it back down. Yeah. Tear it back down and start from scratch. And I know that sounds, archaic and crazy, but people are going to die. Things are going to go wrong. But that's the only way to get it the right way. It's to start from the beginning.
It's happening. You can't exactly start from the beginning. You can look at every day as a new beginning. Because you can't just like be like, all right, let's just take away everything that was built and start again. Mm-hmm. Let's have 300 million people stand around and do, you know.
It'd be crazy.
Right? But every day is a new beginning and a new perspective. So, I don't want to take your point.
But you could do it with class, with grace, meaning when people used to say, and they still say, defund the police, that didn't mean I'm going to say shut down all of the precincts. It means start from scratch and see, how are we even pulling people on? What is the criteria for you to become there? What neighborhood do you live in? Why do you want to work here? You start from the beginning. That's what defund the police meant. Meaning we're not giving you money just to just go out there and go get everyone. You go take a bullshit psych test. You go take a bullshit agility test for 6 months, and now you're a cop with a gun that could kill people. Unacceptable. We got to figure out from the scratch, who are you? Why do you want to be there? Where did you live? Why do you want to police here? Why am I putting someone that lives in Garden City in Hempstead to police? Garden City, you police Garden City. Hempstead, you police Hempstead. We were saying that about Palenque. Mm-hmm. That's what it needs to be done. These things is what needed to be done when we said defund the police.
Yeah.
Start from the beginning, and that's not just for police, for the world. We're not just going to say a billion people just stand around. Start from the beginning of what we're doing. Look at the class system. Look at the way we're hiring people. Look at the way we're giving people breaks at work. All these things, step by step, would have to be done before, you know, if we're ever going to get back. But honestly, no one's going
to
do that.
When you said deep fund police, the people that's in charge, they took that and says, oh, how are we going to twist this? When they made it a political thing.
Yeah, they know.
They use it like a ping pong ball.
They do everything like that.
That whole thing, what you said,
everything.
They wasn't planning on doing
defund the police, Black Lives Matter, then Blue Lives Matter, then White Lives Matter, and all of that.
What you said,
all lives matter.
We have to do that with each system that we are part of. The education system.
That's
the same have to be done.
If that ain't the most important,
and start all over.
Check this
and
out.
Made work. Make to be
that's probably the most important. What he said though, the education system, because that is teaching them from this.
Of course.
From this.
Of
course. So now, if it took us decades to do it, it would be fine because we're starting from here, and these are the ones that's going to make the change.
Exactly. And then, but they're going to have information that they wasn't getting, that we didn't get when we were younger. They're gonna have things, they're gonna have examples of people in front of them saying, this is what success looked like. This is how you respect each other. This is how, you're gonna have these examples that these kids at a young age, as they grow up, and I'm gonna say, growing up in Harlem wasn't as what they said it was. Harlem was a paradise. It was all black people there. It wasn't like, oh, it's all black people, it's the hood. No, it was a paradise. We looked out for each other. We loved each other. And as you grew up as a kid, somebody else could come along and say, hey, what are you doing?
Don't put the mic up a little.
Don't be doing that. What's your name? Oh, are you Jerry's kid? Oh, okay. And then you get really scared because if he go and tell your parents, you in trouble, big trouble. So sometimes they use that to keep you from doing the wrong thing out there.
There's a community.
It's a community. I mean, again, back to Palenque, that's what they were saying that they did. All right, so listen, we're an hour in, so I'm going to give everybody a quick quick 30 seconds. Say your last thing. Buho, go ahead, start.
Palenque.
Go to Palenque. Demetrius, go ahead.
I'm going to say the same thing.
Go Palenque. To Palenque. Palenque. What you got?
I got Palenque and my birthday.
There you go.
Because without my birthday, I wouldn't have never known about Palenque.
Round of applause. Happy birthday. We're going to give him a round of applause. All right? All right, so thank you for tuning in to Pedicure Philosophies. We're going to hit y'all probably maybe one more episode before we leave here. Maybe tomorrow. Yeah, no, we're going to be tired after AVTVs, but probably tomorrow morning because we leave in late. All right? All right, so let's hit it. Hit the theme song. Hey, hit the theme song. Ha! Thank you for joining us.